CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.
Yep, we're here and we're live. It's all happening, baby. Right, so the weekend's over and we're into the week, and it rained all over Gauteng over the weekend, which nobody could believe. And a lot of rain. Man.
Yeah.
Huh? The hell was that all about?
Like roads and bridges were washed away, Gareth.
Yeah. Pretty insane.
Some people, that's a catastrophe, an absolute disaster.
Can anyone... Well, for most of us. Can anyone remember if it's ever rained like this in May before? Because I don't remember this.
Last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Global warming.
Mm.
Climate change, right?
Yep.
I'll tell you what has to change. Who are all these people on the roads if our economy is supposedly not growing? And there aren't enough jobs. Then who's driving all the cars that were on the highway this morning? Because it was Carmageddon out there.
There are too many of us on the roads. The roads cannot handle our numbers.
Okay, so then, okay, that explains a lot, but this morning was insane. I mean, I left at the same time I normally leave. There were about three or four occasions on the highway where everything just ground to a complete halt.
Mm.
Like where you actually stop on a highway in the fast lane.
And then there's no accident, no obstruction of any kind.
No.
It's just people... either getting on or off the highway, and it just brings things to a stop.
It's madness.
It's the Joburg people. We've realized that we're not going to survive the winter. So we're packing up our shit and we're heading to Durban where it's warmer.
Flex, this was traffic into Johannesburg from Pretoria and they weren't going Durban.
That's unexplainable then.
Yeah. No, we aren't all birds. We don't migrate
for the winter.
But I reckon there should really be tax breaks for businesses who employ people, but they don't have to ever leave their homes. It's like, lots of jobs out there are crap, let's be honest. They're very menial. They can be done from home. And if there are, less traffic.
Yeah. I mean, that would be really clever, because that would be like the opposite of an ETOL. So it would mean we will reward you for not being on the road.
Like, we're getting fiber now in this place we call home.
Right.
Add fiber plus clever thinking equals less traffic, perhaps.
Well, I read such a good article by Alan Knott Craig Jr. about, don't worry, the internet's coming and it'll help us grow the economy. And we've got to open it up. We've got to make sure that free wireless broadband is available to everybody. And then we will be able to trade. We'll be able to do so much more without ever having to leave our phones. You do it from anywhere. And he reckons this will... immediately improve the growth rate. It'll immediately give new opportunities to people who don't have jobs. So there are lots of reasons that he says we've got to be very optimistic. Wouldn't that be nice?
Sure.
Very good.
All right, before we get into any of that, though, how was everybody's weekend? What's been happening? Hmm? Anybody do anything interesting? Come on, what went down?
I don't know what you guys were talking about with the rain and the depressing floods.
No, you were in the Northern Cape.
I was in another world for a good 2 days. Let me just put it that way.
All right. This is probably the province that we know the least about. It's the biggest province in the country.
Exactly.
There's a lot of, you know, open space in the Northern Cape.
Yeah.
Places like Upington, I've never been to in my life. A lot of people go there and apparently there's an airport with...
An international airport, Nochal.
International.
Yes.
Okay. So you obviously can fly into Namibia and Botswana from there.
Yeah.
Okay, but what's the airport must be the size of this building.
Basically, if you stretched your arms out, you can touch the airport.
Wow.
From side to side. No, but it was very cool. And this whole concept was basically the band Mikasa has launched their new album and it's called Home Sweet Home.
Right.
And instead of doing like a conventional album launch, they wanted people to see their home, which is South Africa. So they've been going from province to province. So we had the opportunity to tag along for the Northern Cape, and my goodness, just like driving everywhere, seeing the country like you've never seen it before, hearing the history and the heritage of the people of the Northern Cape, wine cellars galore, which is never a bad thing.
Which
I saw pictures of you and Kat drinking lots of wine. Sure.
What I love is they called it wine tasting, and they bring out like six different glasses for you.
Yeah, well, yes, you're supposed to taste it, not
and you're
gulp
meant to
down.
Find like they want you to promote. They want you to basically get a taste of each one, yeah. But you basically could, you know, maybe fall in love with wine and you finish that glass.
Did you learn anything?
I did learn some wine etiquette.
Like what? Share it with us.
Like, for example, you know, you aren't meant to, you know, swivel a brandy glass. You know what? We see a lot of people hold a brandy glass and they swivel it around. That actually releases more alcohol, and brandy is already very concentrated. So you do that more with white wine, and you can smell white wine. And actually, I learned you can say anything because it's smelling wine is all like a personal experience. So you can say you smell soil and that's good for you. So I was like, okay. Well, I shall do this more often then.
In other words, it's all nonsense.
And all nonsense, basically. Right. And they look and they point the glass up to the sky, and you're meant to look through the glass. And I was like, what are you looking for? They're like, no, just to see if there's anything in your glass. And I was seriously?
Get fucking real!
I used to think you're looking for some texture or something fancy.
Yeah.
Well, little did I know, I just drank everything. It was more fun that way.
And you were on like a donkey cart or something?
Yeah, that's where the problem came in. Now,
no, that sounds like fun.
It was not fun after you've had some drinks and you get on a donkey cart. Now, listen, with the donkey, there's no ABS braking. There's no seatbelt. You know, there's no indicator. You just go with the flow. And that was horrible because you were basically, well, I was the only one screaming for my life.
Of course you were.
Justified. Very, very justified.
But you're on a donkey cart. You can only go about 3 kilometers an hour. What were you so worried about?
Yeah, but it's like gravel. That's the thing. And like the donkey will just stop all of a Saturday. You think, what's going on? And will literally just like crap right there and then. Like, I mean, like a mountain of crap. And then just carries on again as normal as usual. But I never thought in my life that I'd spend my weekend dancing with like an 80-plus-year-old woman to Los Slappy on a Saturday afternoon. So that's the Northern Cape through and through. It was very awesome.
So which are the predominant languages spoken there?
Well, they are like the Nami people. So it is a lot of Afrikaans, and they are like, and well, you know, they come from the likes of the Khoi, etc., the Khoisan people. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot of Afrikaans. Like they said, speaking English is the language of defense because they only speak English when they're in trouble. So they didn't like it. They didn't appreciate speaking English with us.
Huh. Oh. Interesting.
All right. But you know, when you share some wine with people, then you really are.
Then
true,
you all find
friend.
A common language that you
common
can
Common denominator there. It's a lot of
that language is called drunk.
Yeah.
And it tends to remove all of the tensions.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Right. It's very cool though.
Wow. Okay. Well, yesterday again was a really unproductive day. I woke up in the rain and I looked out of my window and I thought, I'm not getting out of bed. I don't care what happens. I got out of bed at 11:15.
Isn't it a nice feeling though, waking up to the rain and then knowing you can go straight back to sleep?
Oh, the best. I would rather take that feeling every day for the rest of my life. That feeling of being able to just roll over and go back to sleep. I'd rather take that than like $1 million in my account. I mean, that is some special feeling, that.
Oh, yeah. It's like Flex. Waking up ahead of your alarm.
Right. Flex, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, such a below average weekend.
Oh, really? Sorry, disappointed.
Friday night, I was driving and I gave a beggar a bottle of water. Because I believe you should give what you can to someone who doesn't have as much as you. Mm-hmm. And he gave it back to me. He said, I don't want water, I just want money. So I was pretty confused by that. Saturday, all my boys went to the Vol, and I didn't go because I stayed for a run, and the run got rained out.
Oh, is it that neon run?
Yeah, completely rained out. And I was so amped for it, I went and I bought like the sickest like legging sort of things, because I think leggings are going to be in for
dudes.
You
said that already, I don't agree.
Watch, I'm telling you now, at gym I already saw the trend starting.
Yeah. Please believe me, it will not, this is going to be horrible.
And I'm pretty sure Top Knot started in the gym and moved their way out. Mm. And
how well did that go? Because I don't see those anymore.
It lasted for quite a while.
I see douchebags with them now.
And then yesterday I went to Mall of Africa.
Oh, how is that?
So sick. It is massive, gigantic, colossal. I got lost like 7 times. You don't understand how big it is.
Anything exciting there?
Your usual shops, which are just 10 times bigger than like a Sandton City ones, like H&M, just colossal.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's this massive Starbucks line.
I still haven't been to H&M or to Starbucks or to any of these places.
H&M, worth going to. The dopest clothes.
Okay.
And then they starting an Apple store there.
Yeah.
But it's going to look like the one in America. You know where it's just like a round circle in the middle of nowhere? So it's going to look really cool.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Doesn't sound like too bad a weekend.
You definitely have to go to Mall of Africa.
All right. I'll check it out. Anything else exciting to report? Mubs, Ben?
Pretty good weekend, really. Watched a lot of Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
Or basically How to Treat Women Badly. It's a guidebook of basically how to treat women badly.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny because it's very historically correct. It's like 60s.
Right.
And wow, what a strange time. And I was thinking, like, just imagine if that show was actually shown in the 60s, if it would have been as popular. People would have been like, oh, I can't believe this happens. But that was everyday life.
Yeah, it shows you how far we've come, actually.
It really does. Like, I used to work in advertising, so that industry has not changed the slightest bit. It's still a lot of horseshit. And it's still a lot of deception and lies. Only back then, you had to be a chain-smoking alcoholic. Otherwise, you had no chance.
Yeah.
Like, how these guys didn't die at the age of 50 from, like, cirrhosis of the liver, I have no idea.
Oh, sounds a little bit like politics, really. Not much difference.
Yeah,
horseshit, lies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah.
I know. Like, in Mad Men, they were doing the Nixon campaign. So they were trying to peddle some horseshit and lies, and then Kennedy wins, and then... It's very cool. It's a good show.
I've been watching Vikings. I got back into that.
See, I couldn't carry on with that show. It just wasn't tough enough.
Yo!
Are you kidding?
Come on, after watching Spartacus and Game of Thrones and those things, Vikings is like, there's a lot of posturing and funny hairstyles.
I don't know, hey? I've never seen a blood eagle before.
Oh, but even so, you start watching and it's all a bit... Yeah.
No, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to carry on watching it. You watch Mad Men.
You just wait for four of them to eventually join, like, and make a pop group. That's what I'm waiting for in Vikings.
Well, that's ultimately what happens to Vikings. 100, you know, it's evolution. So they start off being violent marauders, and then over a certain period of time, they become ABBA.
Yeah, so just fast forward to the bit that actually makes sense, and then I'll watch it again.
So, yeah, it goes from, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to rape the women, I'm going to steal, I'm going to burn, I'm going to destroy, I'm going to loot, I'm going to ransack, and then it's knowing me, knowing you.
Can't wait for season 10.
Yeah, those Scandinavians.
I just love their names.
Björn.
Ragnar Lothbrok.
Yeah, great names. There's still people with, like, Thorkilsson, and, like, they're still calling their kids those names.
Yeah.
Wow.
Torsten.
Thorbjorn.
Yeah.
There's a golfer called Thorbjorn Olesen.
Right. Ugh. And if you're if you're Ragnar's daughter, then your surname is actually Ragnar's daughter.
No.
For real.
No, you lie.
Yes, I promise you.
You lie.
If you're Olaf's son, your surname is Olafsson.
Oh,
that's how it works in Scandinavia.
Sure.
In fact, the word daughter is Scandinavian. Dotter. D-O-T-T-I-R.
Dotter.
Yeah. Daughter and son comes from them. How's that? But that Ragnar, I mean, at one point, I'm only in season two now because I watched season one and then I fell off the wagon. So in season two now, he's got a wife, but he's also got this other woman. And then he wants them to both shack up with him.
Mm.
It's pretty unbelievable.
But don't you find...
Guys, like, in those days had it made, huh?
But don't you find that the show kind of just doesn't quite kick on at stages? Like when they... Like his brother, who's now become a Christian, he's a bit weak. And then that guy who's constantly like the boat builder.
Yes,
Floki.
He's a drip as well as a character.
Floki and Rollo. Yeah, don't spoil it for me, Ben. You know what? You're already analyzing it.
Yeah, I think I'm watching. I think they just finished showing season 4 now on the TVs, Gareth. So you've got a lot of catching up to do.
I know. Don't spoil it for me. That means that I don't have to. I can watch things on the plane when I fly to America on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. When they go to Paris, that's quite good.
Okay, don't tell me anything if you don't mind.
Well, obviously they go there. You know what Vikings did.
You know where I see series going in the future? Because series take your time, and it's like a waste of time to watch the thing just to have it in your memory and remember what happens. Soon, an entire season will be like in sort of a pill, mm-hmm. and you swallow the pill, and you remember all the facts and that, and you can just talk to people about it. Think about it. How much time you waste watching TV, and you're not productive.
Yeah, but that's the point. I read an article over the weekend. This guy who said, you know what? There's so much pressure for us to be superhuman and we're not. You know what his routine is in the morning? He wakes up, he hates the world, he gets in the shower, he makes an ordinary cup of coffee and he starts his day. You listen to these people who have a whole thing in the morning. They get up, they drink a liter of water. Then they drink organic bird shit coffee. Then they do 20 steps before they go to work. Then they stretch. Then at work they have a bowl of, I don't know, oats. And they've got this whole thing. Everybody's got the... This guy's like, you know what? We're human. It doesn't matter what you do to your routine. Nobody likes waking up in the morning. And he's right. And he says you do not have to be productive every second of the day. Some hours of the day you could just veg.
Yeah, Michael, I like your Matrix theory. But, you know, sometimes you need to watch series. If it's a bond with a loved one, take some time out, de-stress. You can't keep driving your car at like 200 kilometers an hour. The car will break.
You know, I also see being in pull form, a full meal. You spend so much time making the meal and then time eating the meal. Imagine you could have a full meal in a pull. You just take the pull and you have the experience as if you just ate it and tasted it.
I'm 100% with you. That I can't wait for. Come on. Bring that on. That will be the greatest invention.
Be a fantastic overdose when people take 10 of these things.
Or even like, you know...
Can't give humans things like this, Gareth. Humans are stupid. Humans break stuff. You're going to burst pancreases and spleens and things just falling all over the pavement.
I thought we already had those.
Oh, he had 10 beef Wellingtons. I thought he was taking aspirin.
You're probably right. I didn't even think about that. You see, I try to think that people would be somewhat more responsible, but there's no chance of that, right?
You give people way too much credit. We don't deserve it. We're stupid and useless.
See, I've learned this from Mubs. I was also like you, Gareth.
Yeah. Xavier says, thank you, Ben, for giving Gareth some of his own medicine with the spoilers. And Josh Todis says, this morning, good morning, Gareth and team. Reflex's conspiracy theory on Wednesday last week. I've been studying for an MA in counterterrorism. What they told us is that Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda make counterfeit medications and get into the pharmaceutical companies when they put this new medication into the system. So people end up dying and they really need to remove the medication. Supernova says, Gareth, I was so bad with series. I watched a series in faster speed of 1.5 on VLC. A 30-minute series takes 20 minutes. So in other words, you watch it faster, like it's sped up.
But you get no audio.
No, you get audio, but it's fast.
Why would he do that then?
I don't know. Maybe he's just in a hurry to get to the end of the series. Now, that's bizarre, Supernova. You're a lunatic.
Yeah, okay. So about those meal tablets? There'll be four of those. Could be like, I'll take them all now, I'll have to eat the rest of the day.
Right. I see what you mean. Oi, you see, the further we get, the only thing that holds us back is us. The world would actually probably be better with Skynet, like in the Terminator movies. Because what are they trying to do? What is Skynet trying to do? Wipe out the humans. Because the humans are the biggest problem. Right?
We're limited.
Isn't that what they were trying to do in The Matrix as well?
Yeah.
They called us a virus. Humans are a virus.
Exactly. But we're clearly the chink in the armor. Because they say that we haven't even yet entirely figured out, like physiologically, what it means for us to be going faster than a walking or running pace. We don't know how to deal with that properly yet in evolutionary terms. If humans, the fastest a human could run, a couple of Ks an hour, maybe double digits if you're really fast. Right?
You're saying Bolt can get to like 45.
Right. Okay. So that's the fastest we can go. Now, you have to imagine over a space of 100 years or less or a little bit more, depending whether you're talking about the car or the bicycle or any of that stuff. Now, suddenly, we're going fast. We're flying so fast that you could get to Los Angeles from South Africa in 22 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That journey would have taken you 5 months in the past. And on ships. And they're not sure that we know how to deal with this. They're not sure that we have the machinery physiologically to deal with going fast. Isn't that interesting? So we could be the biggest problem here. Like our experience of something could end up being warped. Because we're not used to traveling that fast. No other mammal does. You know, even the cheetah can go fast in short bursts, but it doesn't know how to do like a long distance trip.
That would be problematic if cheetahs were doing long distance trips all over the world. It'd be like, oh, damn, it's going to catch me matter where I am.
Supernova says, don't let those pills have maximum protein just for the gym oaks. They'll overdose galore. Some more muscles, brew. Yeah. Let's bulk, brew. And Josh says, Sia, early the Upington Airport is called international because during apartheid, airports were the one place where blacks and whites weren't separated. Oh. Anything which was separated was called domestic, and anything that wasn't separated was called international. So hotels, beaches, and airports which had the name international on them were not separate. How's that? I didn't know that. Did you?
I didn't know that either.
Airports all just kept the international part after apartheid ended. Well, that is interesting. I had no idea about that.
Huh.
Yeah, absolutely. Flax, what is it? We've got to get to sport.
Yesterday, I spent majority of the day thinking about immortality, and I thought, what would we do differently, and how would we act if we knew we were immortal and would never die? And the fact is, we wouldn't do anything. The reason we do stuff is because we know we have a finite time to get it done in before we die.
Yeah, well, that's very simplistic, though. You're telling me you wake up in the morning and the only reason you're motivated to do anything because you know you're going to die. Nonsense.
You want to get rich before you can't work anymore.
But that's also not all. You don't wake up in the morning with just money and death on your mind. I should hope.
I kind of think subconsciously we want to get everything done before we die. We want to get all the blocks ticked before we die.
I don't feel that way. How about the experience of it? How about living? How about the people you meet? The things that you get to do? And that's not necessarily related to mortality or money.
Do you ever think, like, before I die, I want to do this, I want to do that?
Yeah, but that's, that seems very fatalistic to me. Look, I don't know. What goes on in your head when you spend a lot of time thinking about something is very strange to me. It comes out of left field, and I don't always understand it.
I just don't see a lot of productivity if we knew we would never die.
Probably, people would take a lot longer to do things.
Yeah.
So there isn't urgency.
Yeah.
That's probably the difference. All right, listen, we got enough stuff to talk about, and we're running out of time. We got to get to Ben and the sport. That is next.
It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, over floating bridges, and into colossal stormwater drains. You're a machine, and nothing's going to stop you. With two separate routes, a 22K for beginners or a 54K for the tougher riders. Go where no mountain biker has gone before. On the 29th of May, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
All right, let's check in with Ben and see what's happening in the sport.
Well, Kanye did blew off Gareth. Someone won a Grand Prix event. It wasn't from the Mercedes team.
And he's like 18 or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, remember before the weekend, we said this is going to maybe be the Grand Prix of the season as far as there's been 9 different winners in the 9 last years in Barcelona. Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Catalunya. Circuit de Catalunya, Barcelona. Anyway, so Mercedes, right? Hamilton had... There was so much pressure on Hamilton to do well. Rosberg has just been dicking him for the last sort of 6 months. So Hamilton finally got the pole, right? Finally on the pole, and he was well chuffed. Rosberg took him on the first corner, though. So he was thinking, screw this. I haven't gone all this way. I'm not playing second fiddle to this guy. Go around the bend. What does Hamilton do? Tries an impossible overtaking maneuver where there was nothing on.
Yeah.
He goes onto the grass. He spins out. Takes Rosberg with him. And before the race, the tires even really heated up properly. Both Mercedes are out.
Wow.
So the Red Bull guys... Ricciardo and this new Verstappen guy. Now, Verstappen was only in the Red Bull team because there was that dodgy Russian who kept shoving Vettel up the arse. So he was then relegated to the Toro Rosso team, right? So Toro Rosso is like the secondary team to Red Bull, where Verstappen was. Now, Max Verstappen is 18 years old. He had a famous dad who also raced. So he was he was literally thrust into the mix this race. So he kept his cool and he won. So he's 18 years and 200 and something days. He is by far the youngest to ever lead a lap in F1, be on the podium in F1, let alone win in F1. Sebastian Vettel was the previous youngest. He was 21, also with Team Red Bull. And wow, it's really, really exciting. Look, it doesn't change things too much in the overall standings. Rosberg's still way ahead. Raikkonen's moved into second because he finished second in this race. Vettel is third in this race, but Hamilton will be third overall. But still, it's exciting to think that someone else can win these things. And like, this is one of the great sporting stories of the year.
Didn't it become so predictable?
Completely. But this isn't just a great F1 story. This is a great sports story. The guy is so... Imagine being that young. Like, most people at the age of 18, they just psyched if they can, like, take a corner in a car quite fast. This guy's just won a Grand Prix.
Right.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So hopefully this can be, you know, give Ferrari some confidence, some momentum, because they finished second and third. And, if they can keep this guy... I mean, that dodgy Russian's not going to come back at any stage. If Verstappen's going to win, and this guy's a huge prospect going forward, he really could be quite incredible. Next Grand Prix to keep the momentum going is the Monaco Grand Prix. That's when the cars buzz around billionaires who don't pay a lot of tax.
Yeah, if there's ever been a sport in the whole world that's elite and it's difficult for just ordinary people to even imagine a foothold in, it's Formula One, right?
Completely.
I mean, you talk about this Verstappen guy. If it wasn't for his father, he probably wouldn't have got into racing. It's very elitist. You need a huge amount of money. Yeah, and you need massive backers.
And it's not something you can just like pick up at school. Like, oh, how was your day today? Oh, it's really great. I'm so good at F1. Who would have thought? Like, it's pretty tough. You don't just get into it. It's massive difference.
Oh, you're really good at F1. Who would have thought?
No, I thought, should I go double biology? No, let's just try F1 today. Great stuff. So, Super Rugby. Good weekend of rugby all around, really. The Highlanders. Wow. 34-26 over the Crusaders. This Highlanders team, we thought had lost the mojo a little bit, but they've just been bloody brilliant. They beat the Chiefs, now they beat the Crusaders. So, a very, very good run here. Rebels, they lost the Brumbies 22-30, and that was to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, at home, Rebels are pretty good, but anyway, Brumbies won that one. Hurricanes 29-14, they weren't at their best, but the Reds aren't very good. The Waratahs, they thrashed the Bulls 31-8, which is quite disappointing. Like, the Bulls had a decent start to their tour, but they just looked limp, lackluster against the Waratahs. But then the Stormers, talking about limp and lackluster, everyone has been dicking the Sunwolves, right? Mm-hmm. We spoke earlier last week of what a cool system the Stormers have to work with this year. No New Zealand teams, and they get to play a team like the Sunwolves twice. Well, they drew 17-17 in Singapore over the weekend, and it would have been a hell of a lot worse if Cheslin Colby didn't break through in the last minute to run almost length of field, and Vincent Cock to then score a try. Stormers are down to, I think, their fifth or sixth choice fly half. We stopped counting now. Injuries just carry on. Anyway, the other fly half, whose name escapes me now, he got the conversion. So 17-all. Stormers grabbing a draw there. Cheetahs, too strong for the Kings. 34-20. Pretty crap game there. But then the Lions, in the absolute monsoon downpour swamp of what was the match on Saturday here in Joburg, 43-5 they beat the Blues. Absolute hammering. The handling was incredible in those conditions because it was wet. You know, when you can see the rain physically coming down on the TV, mm-hmm. It's quite something. There are about 13 diehard supporters in the stand, all getting pneumonia, but it was worth it for 43-5. Huge win. They started off like just on fire and just kept going. And then the Jaguars, they hosted the Sharks, and Pat Lambie got the winning penalty there. 25-22. Now, both teams thought the ref was crap, but these Jaguars are back to their old ways. Two of their players have now been cited. And these guys have got to learn to behave. I mean, for various reasons, because foul play is against the rules. But secondly, you guys are new to the tournament. Don't be dicks. No one's going to really like you. You're not going to make any friends. You've got a long way to go. You can't just be the new kids in the block and think you can just, you know, dick around like this. It's really frustrating, Gareth, because this tournament is going to expand, whether we like it or not. But if you've got guys acting like complete arsewipes, it's just not cool.
Right.
Anyway, so
they spoil it for everyone.
They lost again, yeah. Paris 7's was rather entertaining of the weekend. The Blitzbox looked fantastic in the pool stages, only to come unstuck against Samoa. 10-21, they got lost in the quarterfinals of the Cup. Nobody really expected that. But to the Blitzbox credit, they came back and they played bloody well for the rest of the tournament. They beat New Zealand in the plate semis and then Australia in the plate final. And then Fiji, well, they were just doing what Fiji normally does. They just rolled through the entire tournament. And then they were 26-7 up against Samoa in the final. They went on and lost 29-26. An incredible comeback from Samoa. Their first title on these IRB 7 circuits since 2012 in Dubai. And it would be really cool to think that that now means it's another name to throw in the hat for the Olympics, which is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Like the Blitzbox, they're just not kicking on, but this is a bloody good side. And it's so entertaining to watch these guys and how they sort of pick the defenses apart. That semi-final against New Zealand was great. The Australian final was even better. And if they can be up there, you know, you've got Fiji, New Zealand, you've got Australia, you've got Samoa. Wow, it's going to be so exciting.
Awesome.
Because that's probably the only thing that is exciting about the Olympics. Tomorrow, we don't have enough time today, but tomorrow I'm going into a whole in-depth look about how dodgy the Olympics is. And I'm not just talking about the Rio one. I'm talking about the drug scandals in Sochi where they're passing piss through a hole in the wall. I'm talking about the Tokyo bids, South Korea's in turmoil over there. It's just a mess. It's an absolute mess. So tomorrow, Grand Slam Olympic time.
All right, I like it.
Nedbank Cup over the weekend, moving into football. Supersport United were too strong for the National First Division people, Baroka FC. Right. And Free State Stars, they rolled over against the Leather Pirates. 4-2, your Pirates winning that one. So the final will be 28th of May, and it'll be at the Peter McCarver Stadium if you live in that area. Hmm. You get big finals football coming to you. Pirates versus Supersport United, 28th of May. Talking about games and future fixtures, well, Manchester United and Bournemouth, they'll play on Tuesday because a suspicious package was found at Old Trafford on Sunday.
I heard about this. Can you imagine how much this cost?
Crazy, crazy. And like, it's such a huge thing.
Look, they have to evacuate the entire stadium, call off the game. They're going to redo it tonight. Turns out some company left something in a bathroom.
Well, what it was, Gareth, was that it was a test package. So what they do is, for these stadiums to be compliant, they've got to keep doing tests, you know, in case of fire, evacuation time, all that kind of stuff. And in a nanny state like England, they do these things all the time, like health and safety. Got to get there. So essentially what was left behind was a test package that is to mimic a bomb because they were training sniffer dogs. So basically these explosive unit dogs have to be trained, and this is one of the things. So they're left behind. Uh-oh. And then it was for real with the dogs. So good weekend for the dogs. If you're a dog in the sniffer business.
Yes, congratulations.
Anyway, in actual football though, well, there was various things that were at play. Even though the title was decided, Leicester were the champions, even though the three relegation teams were already relegated, there were some interesting dynamics at play here. Okay, one of them, West Ham, were they going to get European football for their new stadium? Because if they finish in the top six, they'll be in the Europa League. Well, unfortunately, Stoke absolutely cock-blocked them. 2-1, they went down to West Ham. Huh. Man City, they just couldn't lose. They couldn't lose at all because they needed a draw at absolute worst to go through and play Champions League football. 1-1 with Swansea, right? Which now means Man United essentially have to beat Bournemouth like 19-0 or something stupid like that on Tuesday to try to finish top four. Not going to happen. Then Chelsea-Leicester, that was the current champions versus the past champions. It was an entertaining 1-1 game. But all the laughter and all the fun came from Newcastle beating Spurs 5-1. Now, this has been Spurs' best season ever, right? This was their chance to beat Arsenal for the first time in 21 years. All they had to do was get a point.
Right.
A point, draw, with already relegated Newcastle. And when Newcastle got a red card with 20 minutes to go, you thought, okay, Spurs could actually get this. Nope. With 10 men, Newcastle scored 3 goals to go with their 2 in the first half. 5-1 Newcastle beating Spurs. Arsenal beat Aston Villa 4-0. Arsenal finished second. Arsenal fans hugely excited. But wait, here's reality check from Claude.
You want me to play Claude? Let me just get Claude up here. Claude is, of course, just explain to people who might not know who Claude is. He's the guy from Arsenal Fan TV.
Is the iconic Arsenal Fan TV guy who calls it like it is, and he's been pissed off this entire season.
It shows the mentality of this fan base, right? The complete mentality. We are celebrating finishing second behind Leicester. You should be all ashamed of yourselves. A lot of you. Right? This has been a poor season, right? This has been a poor season, mate. And you know it's been a poor season.
Yeah, it has been a poor season.
Our season went up in smoke at Old Trafford, and after that, it's gone completely. Southampton, Norwich, West Brom. Right? Let's not paper over the cracks. All these people singing, only one Arsenal when you go around the pitch, all singing their hearts out because we finished second, yeah? Don't, let's not paper over the cracks, because we're going to be here next season complaining again and again.
I like that guy. He gets very, very fired up.
But right? He is kind of right. Like, obviously, everyone wants to, like, you know, cherish the moments. And the whole thing about Spurs is that Arsenal, that's the big derby, right? That's the big North London derby. So whatever Spurs cock up, Arsenal fans relish the moment. They really do. So that's 22 years running now. Arsenal have beaten Spurs in the league. And that's kind of it, really, for the Premier League. So well done, Leicester. They now have Champions League football to look forward to. We still have the FA Cup, and we still have the Champions League to look forward to. And, well, La Liga over the weekend, Barcelona secured their 24th title. They beat Granada 3-0. And even though Real beat Deportivo La Coruña 2-0, it wasn't enough because they finished behind them. Luis Suarez was the top scorer. He scored 40 goals, the first time since I don't know how long that either Messi or Ronaldo hasn't been top scorer. And Gareth, probably the biggest story was in tennis. The Rome Masters, Andy, birthday boy Murray, finally beat Djokovic in a final.
Shame. Isn't that nice, Mubs?
I mean,
Djokovic was about to explode at one stage, and I quote, he said, Djokovic at one stage slipped in the court, and he went up to the umpire and said, it's too fucking dangerous to play in this. And the commentators are like, oh, I really apologize to Djokovic's language. But it was like, it was wet, and he was slipping and sliding, and eventually he just said, like, screw this. Anyway, Murray stuck to his gun, 6-3, 6-3. What a huge result that is.
Sure.
And what an interesting result prior to the French Open, which we'll get into at length later in the week. Players' Championship, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, they missed the cut, but Jason Day, he went wire to wire. It is 10th PGA Tour win, 7 wins from his last 17 starts. The guy is the world number one for a reason. He's absolutely incredible, and when he is on, no one else actually stands a chance. It's just incredible to watch this guy. He's going to break down. His swing is far too physically demanding, but hey, he's making hay while the sun of his 20s is shining. He's 28 years old now, 10 PGA Tour wins. That is 7 years better than his hero Greg Norman got to 10 PGA Tour wins. It's a really incredible talent. And finally, in the Afrasia Mauritius Open on the European Tour, I absolutely love watching this. It was in Mauritius at the Anahita Resort, and Junhong Wang, he scored back-to-back European Tour titles after winning in Morocco the week before. His win in Mauritius was really interesting. Sidiko Rahman was going great guns, but then he punked one out of bounds in 16. He lost 3 shots in the last 3 holes, whereas Wang, he stood firm. And back-to-back wins there for the young guy. 20 years old.
Good for Wang.
Go on, Wang.
Ben Dean says, listening to cliffcentral.com on the app, this is the most Ben has spoken about F1 ever.
Well, what a good race. I mean, if you have something for sports fans, I will talk about it.
There we go.
A lot more sport coming at 10 a.m. this morning for the Bounce Show. We've got a big in-depth discussion about Leicester and what went into that win, as well as a rugby catch-up.
Excellent. Don't miss that at 10 o'clock this morning, the Bounce Show. We all know what time it is. Time for Anthea. Huh? She was high for the money, so high for Italy. She was high for the money, so you better treat her right. There we go. It's an 11-year-old singing this song.
Huh?
How's that? So high for Italy. And this is your theme music now. So wherever you go and whatever you do now, this has got to be the music.
Exactly right.
We'll wherever.
The Rocky themes.
Yeah, like even if you are giving you're making some kind of speech at a major investment conference or something, this should be what comes on.
Okay.
Can we arrange?
I think we should.
All right, we'll do it. Because it's your trademark. It's what sets you apart.
Absolutely.
Apart from, obviously, all the things that you do.
It's this song, not your talent.
Not anything
up,
else.
This is very important. It's all about marketing. All right. So listen, Anthea and I were actually messaging each other the whole day yesterday because we were both very concerned about what was going on with this report around Pravin Gordhan.
I was basically having a meltdown.
Yeah, because, you know, this country's already been through so much, and we've managed to fight and claw our way back to not being downgraded by just about everyone. We're fighting a massive problem in this country with a lack of growth. Everything's receding. Eskom saying, oh, well, there'll be no more load shedding, but that's because manufacturing is virtually ground to a halt. And then we have either very irresponsible journalism in someone reporting that Pravin Gordhan is going to be arrested when he isn't, or a much more serious problem, which is that the finance minister might be arrested. And if he is, we can kiss the rand goodbye.
And our credit rating.
Yeah. So, I mean, where are we on this?
So it's a huge thing. I actually don't know what to believe because, wow, like, what do we expect to see coming? The presidency did put out a statement yesterday saying that it was all rumor or conjecture or whatever, but they worded it so carefully. So they said they, you know, that Pravin Gordhan does, work for the president and the president can do what he wants to, but they are, but he's not planning to fire him. Except if he does get arrested, well, then he's no longer going to be the finance minister and the president won't have to arrest him. So it does, and there was just too much detail in this report for us to completely ignore it. That's the other problem. So the Rand started trading last night at about 9 o'clock Asian time, so our time 9 o'clock, but when Asia started, and weakened all the way to 1562. It had been 1531 on Friday afternoon. This morning though, it's back at 1543. So it looks like the market, like us, we're just not sure. But if this does happen, oh my goodness, I can't imagine what will happen to the Rand. Our credit rating will go. Things will get bad. You know,
well, I don't know if you heard what the NPA said, because they said that no decision has been made to prosecute, but that an investigation is underway. So that where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
So there is something happening.
And apparently, and we've got to talk, Flex, see if you can't get Ranjeni on for me a little bit later on, because she's been investigating this very carefully. And it seems even Atul Gupta is involved in these rumors and as a source of these rumors. And if really? That's true, I mean, surely these Guptas should know better than to be mouthing off.
Absolutely.
They're lucky to have got out with their lives.
Yeah, so they should just keep quiet now. But you say he's involved. How is he involved?
Well, he's the one who said that they're going to arrest Pravin, that Trevor Manuel's on the list.
Oh, yeah.
There's
like eight people on that list, apparently.
And basically, this list is just all the people.
But this is all about the SARS rogue unit. What has Trevor Manuel got to do with that?
I don't know, but they're trying to take everybody who has something to say about the president down. Oh. It's a political conspiracy.
And then on Friday, I believe that at the ANC General Council, Zuma did say that he thought Van Rooyen was still the best man for the job.
Oh,
I did
God.
Read that, which just is crazy. And it sounds almost like he's setting it up, actually, which
that's
is
what
worrying.
It sounds like, yeah.
Mm. Anyway, all right. If this happens, we're in big trouble. But let's just carry on as if it hasn't.
Yeah, for now.
Right.
But you know the market will price ahead, right?
Of course.
So if the market thinks it's going to happen, the Rand will weaken. So if this is not going to happen, but it was bad journalism or irresponsible journalism, the impact is still there. The Rand will still weaken. And then we still have the inflationary issues and the downgrade and.
All right. Well, let's look at the market in the meantime.
All right. Yeah. So on Friday, the Aussie closed 28 basis points higher, about $1.5 billion traded, which was the highest for the week. Not very much was going on last week. Mm. For the all share, last week was up 67 basis points. And then, of course, we know what happened to the Rand. And because of the slightly weaker Rand, we saw resources have a nice little bounce.
I had a conversation with a stockbroker last week who was saying to me that he's just so annoyed with the market this year.
Oh, why?
Well, he said that.
And so say all of us.
Yeah. 2%? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You're wasting my time.
Right.
Yeah. But if he's a stockbroker, he should be happy because the market's volatile. And when it's volatile, traders can make money. Mm. So if you were a trader of the Rand yesterday, at 9 o'clock last night, you would have definitely sold off the Rand, bought some dollars, it would have weakened to 1562, and then you would have bought back your Rands at, 1543 this morning. So you would have made some money. But, it is a bit annoying, I must admit. But at least there's a little bit of news flow. Not hugely. We spoke about this last week. Nothing hugely exciting. Some of the things. So Nivius Investment Holding Group, announced that they were selling their stake in KWV. I think they own about 57% or somewhere around there. And then Nivius is owned by HCI, which you might know, the guys who own Serdal Media. They also own a couple of other things, Vukani Gaming and Galaxy Bingo. And Serdal Media is the owner of ETV. So it looks like they might be consolidating, kind of selling off things that's not core to their business. The share was up 12% in 3 days. Hmm. It is a tiny a company though. It's only about 3 billion market cap. Not much trade. So you kind of, and it's fairly tightly held because of this HCI holding 52% of it. So you're probably not that exciting as a share to play because you know what happens with illiquid shares. If somebody wants to sell, they'll sell it right down and you'll be stuck holding yours. And then Mondi Paper, they also reported their first quarter operating profit up 269 million euros. Now they report in euros because they're a spin-off of Mondi PLC, which is the UK business. Not bad. It was up 14% on last year's number. This is a funny share. This is like the thorn in my side share because when I think of the paper business, I think of a dead industry. Like I can't imagine anything exciting or any growth coming from it. But the share in the last 2 years is up 67%. In 5 years, it's up 265%.
Oh, who's using all this paper?
Oh, that's the thing, right? And not only that, but like a couple of months ago, we have to compare the share to kind of other paper players, Sappi and the European paper business. And just a couple of months ago, the European paper businesses were all decreasing their prices, so trying to be competitive by selling for cheaper. So why is the share up? It really does my head in. I can't understand. And sure, they're doing well.
Right.
14% up on last year, possibly from a low base. But you can't really say that because it has been going up and up for the last 5 years. Yeah, and there's lots of competition, you know, from kind of importers and emerging market currencies are a problem for them. So I don't know. It's just one of those I'm going to stay away from. Like, I'm just actually going to not even consider that I've missed out on 265% in the last 5 years.
Yeah. It'll just depress you.
It will, yeah. And then, of course, Barclays Group Africa. Now, lots going on here because on Friday, all the bidders are suddenly coming out of the woodwork. On Friday, a Middle Eastern consortium called Abraj announced that it's a private equity company. They announced that they want to buy 35% stake in Barclays Africa Group. So this is the company, the holding that the PLC, the London-listed Barclays, is selling off.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know, what's his name, Carlyle, Bob Diamond and the Carlyle Group were interested. And apparently, rumor has it that Patrice Motsepe is also interested. Now, that hasn't been confirmed. Definitely the Middle East company is keen. But then the Reserve Bank are saying that actually they don't really want a private equity player to be involved. They want a solid position. They want somebody who's going to be here invested for a long time. And also, the reason Barclays PLC is selling down is no other reason than for them. So the return on equity in this business is not bad, but if they translate it into kind of bottom line, if you like, what's happening on the regulatory front is that Barclays PLC are having to put up so much capital for regulatory capital that by the time they work it back and kind of their return on equity on the, on kind of the side, on their side, on the PLC side, is almost, I believe, 7%, which for them is not worth it. You know, you're comparing it to over here. They're making return on equity of 15, but by the right. time they put up this capital, which they can't utilize anywhere else in the business, they have to, it's kind of ring-fenced, it doesn't really make sense. So I'm beginning to understand why they're wanting to sell down to a non-controlling stake.
Right.
For the Reserve Bank, obviously, they want somebody who's going to be there for a while, who's going to look after the business and also be able to put up this regulatory capital and not worry too much. So, I don't know. Does this Middle Eastern private equity consortium, Abraj, have a chance? I don't know. It's only 35%. So, actually, now that I think about it, it's 35%, which means that it would be more than they would have to make a share, they would have to make an offer to other shareholders. So I think that will probably be less than 35.
All right.
So we'll see. I'm beginning to think that Barclays is actually not a bad buy. It's a 1.2 times book value, 7% dividend yield. It's not bad. And you know how we've been talking about, it's not as exciting as First Rand or Standard Bank, but the share's down, I don't know, kind of quite a bit in the last year. I don't know what the number is now, but like I think it's about 40%. So maybe it is cheap. Maybe it is time to get into Barclays.
All right. Well, you'll let us know when to press the button.
I think we should press the button.
You think so?
Let's do it. Let's do it today.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
There we go. We just made a big decision. You're not so sure. You look nervous.
No, I take your word for it. Please, what do I know about these things? If you say press the button, we press the button.
And also, you know how this works, right? There's a saying, short the hunter, long the hunted. Barclays is the hunted. And as people are bidding up for this, so you've got Bob Diamond, you've got Abraj, you've got Patrice Motsepe, you've got the PIC. If they want a stake in this business, and if this business is cheap, they will start paying up for it, and the share price will rally. On Friday, the share price was up 4% kind of by midday, or no, in the afternoon, or just after lunch, when Abraj made the announcement. It closed 1.6% up. But that's what will happen. It'll be volatile, and the share will probably run just on the back of all these bidders coming out. That's what I think.
All right, Anthea, you've persuaded all of us. All right, good. Now, can we talk about some of the other things that are going on?
Sure.
Sun International?
Yeah. So I had a closer look at Sun International because, you know, they announced a couple of days ago, sometime last week, beginning of last week, that they were selling down some of this business. And now this is another share that's been beaten down. So it's about 41% down the last year. And mostly those are because of delays in the North American deal. They've had regulatory issues with the Panama business, so the Competition Commission hasn't approved it as quickly as possible. And then people are worried that if there's a licensing issue in the Western Cape, and that if Sorgho's Son get a license to build another casino in the Western Cape, Grand West's EBITDA will actually halve, which is huge. That's a big thing. And then there's been a story about Sun International losing $10 million via one of their VIP clients. Now, this VIP business, gaming business, is very interesting because actually, let me think of it. The top 10% of clients make up 85% of gaming revenues for Sun International.
The top?
10% of clients make up 85% of the gaming revenues.
So those idiots who go and they gamble all the time and they gamble big.
Oh, huge.
These are the guys who make 80% of their profits.
85% of revenue.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently, literally, like the top 10 gamblers at Grand West can actually move the needle completely for Sun International. But you know, this is like VIP stuff, right? So these are guys who are flying in from China, Europe, America, South America. And really,
I can
just
imagine
coming,
nothing more depressing than flying in to Cape Town from China and sitting in Grand West Casino. I think I'd slit my wrists and chop off my own head.
Yeah. And they sit in a room and gamble.
Ugh.
It is fairly scary.
Depressing.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, so I think the South American business is actually now beginning to pick up momentum. They've spent on Sun City, Sun International have spent 875 million rand. I've not been there for decades, but apparently it's completely changed now. They're expecting EBITDA of 450 million rand per year from Sun City. And of that, again, by the way, of the 450 million rand, they're expecting 150 million rand from their VVIP clients. So again, these guys who they fly in, put in a room, make
Tremendous.
Them gamble, feed them alcohol, and off they go.
Wow.
I think the share's gone from 132 to 76 rand a share in the last year. So it's come off hugely. But I think they've done everything they can to streamline the business, to really kind of extract synergies from, or it's time now to extract synergies from the North American business. So I think it's time to buy Sun International. So we've got two buys today.
All right.
Sun International and Barclays Group.
Got you.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of questions that are pouring in here. The first one is from Carla. Says, Anthea, did you find out about the PSG Icon battery?
Of course I did.
Is this good for future value?
So, first of all, I don't know very much about the Icon battery inverter. So it's a battery inverter combination. What I do know is this Energy Partners business has got huge clients. So they've got Pick and Pay, SAB Miller. They've got Distell. So kind of actually a lot of the Stellenbosch mm-hmm. businesses. They've got Spa as a client. It looks really good. I don't know about the actual technology. You know, it's all photovoltaic and kind of And the big thing again with solar energy is storage. From a business perspective and how it feeds into PSG. So Energy Partners, I think it's very capital intensive, but I think you can expect high quality of an earnings stream coming from that. There's a long cycle to sell. So it takes long for Energy Partners to actually seal the deal with a client. But once they do, it's annuity income, and we love annuity income. You know, right. It's easy money every year. You get paid a portion. You don't really do much. There'll be very little in the way of maintenance. PSG or Energy Partners plan to inject 5 billion rand into this business in the next 5 years. If you just do a plain calculation, it's worth about 280 million rand. But I don't think they'll sell it for less than 3 billion rand. So yes, we definitely like Energy Partners. As a business within the PSG stable.
Sure.
Whether I would recommend you go out and buy the Icon battery instead of the Tesla, I don't know.
No, well, yeah. Also, that's not your thing.
No, it's not.
No. A couple of other people. Here's an interesting question. I don't even know what this means. Michael Dupre says, what does Anthea think of the Elliott wave theory?
Oh, okay, so this is, what do we call it, technical analysis. Mm-hmm. And it's basically drawing graphs, and it's a little bit technical. I'm not a technical analyst. So I'll look at graphs every once in a while. And, you know, they talk about kind of Elliott wave and MACD, which is moving average, and there's a whole lot of stuff. I look at it, but I don't use it to make my investment decisions.
These are the statistical tools.
They're actually just pictures. So it's a trend line. And if you break through the trend line, then it's going to keep going in that direction. And you have flags and you have pennant flags. Oh boy.
Okay.
I know. It's
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then let's just look at this. Because of the money shot, there's a guy called Trevor Smith who listens to us. He started investing and trading. He's going to set aside some of his monthly investment allocation for discretionary trading. And he's asked for advice on a portfolio that he's put together, right?
Yeah, because he's been listening to us. So,
all right, so here's his watch list. Go for it.
So he's got Pick n Pay and Woolworths. I'll just go through them as I kind of see them. Pick n Pay and Woolworths. So I think in such a small portfolio, in this economic environment, there's no need to have two consumer retail stocks in your portfolio. Hmm. I would choose Woolworths over Pick n Pay at this stage. Now, I know Pick n Pay is doing really well, extracting value, being very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Smooth in the operations. You know, they're rolling out their strategy well. But at this stage?
Consistent.
Thank you. Woolworths. Then he's got EOH, which I really like. It's gone nowhere for a while, which annoys me because I've been holding it since last year. But I'm going to hold it a bit longer. The competition there is AdaptIT. In the ICT sector, I think EOH really is my preferred choice, my preferred stock, probably with AdaptIT if I had to choose a second one. I really like their CEO, Asher Bobbitt. He's quite eclectic, if you like. But he knows what he's doing. He's grown up in this business, and he's forward-thinking.
All right, so we'll keep EOH.
Yeah. And then Trevor's got RMH Holdings and First Rand. Now, this is silly because essentially First Rand own RMH, so there's no need to hold both. They actually trade – the correlation is almost 100. It's almost perfect. I'd rather have First Rand because I think if you're going to expose through First Rand, you'll get exposure to other businesses. So Ashburton, Westbank, and RMH. So don't buy both. Only buy RMH.
Only buy First Rand.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. First Rand. Okay. Silly of me. Thank you. And then JSE, of course. You know, that's one of my stocks of choice. And then he's got something called Better Beta 40, which is an index tracker. It's an ETF, exchange traded fund. And all it does is it replicates the top 40 shares. It's not bad. If you're just going to have exposure to the market, then that's a good thing to buy. But if you're looking to beat the market, why buy the market? Mm. You kind of want to buy shares that will outperform the market. So I think leave Better Beta out. Then right. He's got Sasfin. Now, Sasfin, it's too small for my liking. On Friday, only 9,000 shares traded. It's got a 2 billion rand market cap. This is the financials business. It's okay. But I don't know what the catalyst is. It's not a hugely exciting business from my point of view. And I know they've had one or two deals which haven't worked in the past, and that's probably been already priced into the share. And potentially it could go up, but it's a really volatile share. And imagine if you're sitting, again, it's this liquidity thing. If you're sitting with a few shares and some big seller decides to sell, you stand no chance. He'll sell it all the way down if he's happy to get out.
Right.
And then he's got Taste Holdings. This is another share I vacillate on. Again, really hasn't performed very well. These are the guys who brought Starbucks to the country. And at the moment, Starbucks, it's an odd thing. It feels like people are seeing it just as a treat, depending on, because of kind of what mood they're in, and they're comparing prices and should we buy Starbucks over any other coffee, mm-hmm. and Starbucks looks like it's expensive and people are not prepared to stand in queues anymore. And so in a consumer sensitive, price sensitive environment, I think we can stay away from Taste Holdings.
All right.
And then the last one he's got is Barclays, which we've already spoken about. I think we're going to buy some today.
All right. Very good. Well, over in, you know, taking a general view of what Trevor's got here, not all bad, but he can get rid of a few of the duplications, yeah, and the unnecessaries.
He's got some good ones. Woolworths, EOH, First Rand, JSE, mm-hmm. and Barclays. That's what we're buying today for him. He's buying.
Very good.
We've already got some of those.
Yeah. Very good. And we'll check in on our own portfolio in a short while and see how we're doing there.
Definitely.
As well. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure.
Very good. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. It is Monday morning on cliffcentral.com, 10 minutes after 7. And we've got lots of good stuff to come. Mubs has got some news. We're going to be joined by Deep Fried Man later on, who is busy, busy, busy. And I see Nina Hastie's back on today for TG Squared. So you never know with that show, right, Sia? I mean, you really can't tell. One day they're in, the next day they're not. It's highly volatile and unpredictable, like the markets.
And when they are here, you just go with it.
Right. Yeah, so Nina's back today. While we're talking about this, let me quickly take you through some of the other things that are happening. So Nina's back. Deep Fried Man will be in with us. And The Bounce is with Ben at 10, then Young, Wild, and Free with Mangaba. And he is going to be talking to people who are making waves in their respective industries. And this morning, they're also talking about blessers and blessees and HIV. So there's quite a lot of interesting discussion going on there in Young and Wild and Free. The Leadership Platform, and that, by the way, is brought to you by Vesoe. And then The Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald is brought to you by Sibanye Gold. Now, Sibanye Gold and Adrian bring you the best leadership master lessons. And today, they will talk to Elsa B. Donovan, the founder of the Open Window Institute, how the appreciation of art can improve leadership. And we all have leadership in us. They'll tell you how to get it out and make it useful. The leader interview with Sibanye Gold 2. Then the business skills conversation. The SME interview. Leadership in transformation. And leadership in education. All of that brought to you by Sibanye Gold. Futurology with Brett Levy and Brett Lindsay. That is at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Are you content with your content? The Brett's try to cover this really large topic of content. If you battle to decide what to consume, this conversation might be useful to you. And you know, we all sit there. Don't think this is just for the techies. You have to decide every day how much of this stuff you're going to take in. Whether it's TV series, whether it's reading, whether it's download stuff, whether it's apps, all of this content, you have to make a decision on it. Maybe these guys can help us figure it out.
Well, the show is essential because whether we like it or not, tech is our lives. We all have these phones. We all do so much with it.
Quite right, Ben.
We need to get away from this mindset that it's only for the guys who were considered computer geeks back in the day.
Correct.
We are all tech people now.
Right. Kelman and Cliff Central rounds off the day at 4 o'clock with the juiciest celebrity news from Zalebs. They move to the guys from the Gentleman's Roundtable. Vaughn Thiel will bring in the Spoken Hustle. And Sean Wolf returns to the show to share some healthy eating tips for the health and fitness segment. Don't miss any of that. That's cliffcentral.com today. Right? News coming up next.
Cliffcentral.com.